This is your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Our topic is drones, or are drones, whatever they are. They are here, everybody, and we're going to be talking about the issues of public safety, privacy, and public trust. With the Pope's visit to the United States, the Federal Aviation Administration, as you probably know, has ordered no flight zones, or no drone zones, I should say, over Washington, D.C., New York City, and Philadelphia, up to and including September 27th, while the Pope is here. This segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. It's my pleasure to have as my guest Edward Page. Mr. Page is a certified criminal law trial advocate by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, a Florida Supreme Court certified circuit court mediator, a commercial pilot and flight instructor, and a partner in the Tampa, Florida law firm of Carlton Field, Jordan & Burt. And Mr. Page spends about one-third of his legal practice doing aviation law. Ed, are you there?
I am. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing okay. And how are you in Florida?
Excellent.
Good. What I'd like to do, Ed, if you give me about a half a minute or so, I'd like to do a little introduction here to get people up to speed with at least some of the concerns that I think we all should be thinking about. A 2014 study on sales of drones states that consumers worldwide spent $720 million and 200,000 units were purchased per month. It also reports that for 2015, spending would double, and by 2020, sales would be as high as $4.5 billion. That's with a B per year. The Washington Post did an investigation using the Freedom of Information Act to get documents from the U.S. military, and it reported that 400 large, and these are expensive, military drones have crashed in major accidents around the world since 2001. No one supposedly has died in a drone accident. And what really concerns me about this, Ed, and I know that you and I will talk about this, is now Amazon wants to use autonomous drones to deliver small packages to customers' doorsteps. So in any event, Ed, would you start by telling us, what's this all about, no drone zones, and of course the Pope, as I can understand that?
Well, the timing, Chuck, for this talk is perfect because, as you know, the Pope arrived in the United States yesterday. The FBI and the United States Secret Service and other federal agencies have been preparing for this visit for a long time, I'm certain. I used to be a federal prosecutor for nearly 10 years, and I'm familiar with the preparations that go on for this. And uniquely in this visit from the Pope, the FAA has been involved, too, because they have created, as you mentioned, what are called no drone zones around the Pope, in cities that Pope Francis is visiting, for example, Washington, D.C., New York City, and Philadelphia. And it's all over. It's all over the FAA's website. They've been issuing emails and public press releases and the like, and the message is, leave your drone at home. There are no fly zones, and that includes radio-controlled aircraft, and during the entirety of the Pope's visit. It just serves to underscore that drones are in the public's eye nowadays, both literally and, unfortunately, figuratively as well. But it's a function of something that we all are familiar with, but some of us may not know this phrase, and it's called the Internet of Things. As my younger brother, Rob Page of Zope Corporation, told me recently, it's the Internet of Things and this connectivity, and that's what the appeal of drones is. They normally have video cameras on them, and all sorts of people are using them, the military, law enforcement, and in fact, the FAA recognizes there are three ways to get legal, or three ways, so to speak, of legal drone operations, the public way. That's the police and others. There's a civil way through a petition process, and that covers drones and others. And then finally, there are a different type, which are called model aircraft.
Let me ask you to pause for just a moment, because I want to let everybody know we are doing this program on Wednesday, September 23rd. So if you're listening to the program live, you will have a chance to speak in the second half hour of the program with Ed Page by calling in our toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And also, for those of you who have listened to the program on a regular basis, you know that usually on the fourth Wednesday of the month, we do what's called Call a Lawyer Night, where we will have several attorneys in the conference room here at the station, KALW in San Francisco, who will take calls off the air. Well, I'm doing the live program with Ed. These attorneys will take calls off the air, workers' comp, criminal law, legal malpractice law, family law, landlord-tenant law, tax law, real estate, etc. And then there will be another attorney available tomorrow who does bankruptcy law, who will be available, and I'll give you that phone number a little bit later in the program. But let me give you the Call a Lawyer number so that you can talk with the attorneys now, if you like, off the air, and the topics, legal topics I just mentioned to you, 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. Why, Ed, do we have to have no drone zones? What's the story here?
Well, the story is kind of frightening, and that is that you can literally buy and fly a drone by going to your mall, buying them online, or going to stores. And it's there's no licensing required, except if you're going to use it for a commercial purpose. So commercially, all sorts of folks are using drones now in, for example, real estate, firefighting. General contractors are using them. They're really big in real estate to film and do video shoots of properties that are for sale and the like. But those aren't really the problem areas. The problem areas stem from the personal use of drones for your own fun or recreation. Those kind of drone usage are not required to be licensed by the FAA. You just buy and fly. And when you do that, you bring the drone home, you charge it up, you put the batteries in, and you're basically teaching yourself, unless you've gone to a drone flight school, which now exist. And during that initial process, you're trying to find out how the drone operates, how it takes off and lands and the like. And others have been doing this, and in fact, the news reports, as I say, there are bad drones and good drones. The bad drones are getting more and more frequent, and I have some examples of them. For example, in the western states recently, during the huge forest fires, the forest fighters had to stop their aerial operations where they were trying to spray retardant and monitor the fire when they saw drones hovering in the area of the fire, apparently filming, and so they had to stop. Drones are a regular guest as well at baseball parks. The Associated Press reported recently 31 sightings of drones at Major League Baseball parks in 2014. They're at NFL games, and again, these are not authorized or sanctioned. These are folks trying to film, bringing them in, or being near the stadium or baseball park and the like.
The scary thing that I find, and I've done because of our you and I working on this over the last few weeks, I've done a lot of research on this, and a couple of things that I think are really very a great concern, aside from the statistic that 400 large military drones have crashed in major accidents since 2001. For example, on January 26th of this year, there was a crash of a drone on the White House lawn. This was operated by, you would think, somebody who had some intelligence, by an employee of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, who I believe told the investigators that he had borrowed the drone from a Secret Service agent. And then on September 3rd, just a couple of weeks ago, at the U.S. Tennis Open match in New York, a drone flew over the Louis Armstrong Stadium and crashed into an empty section of seats. And frankly, Ed, and I know you're not an advocate of people going out and buying drones and flying them, but I am very concerned about, for example, Amazon wanting to use autonomous drones to deliver small packages to customers' doorsteps. I mean, what about the trees, the telephone wires, the power lines, and all of this stuff? What comments do you have about this, and where are we? Are we anywhere close to the kind of science where this can be done without multiple accidents?
Well, look, we've got two problems. We have a machine, and we have a human controlling the machine. And so, in my opinion, we've got two issues to deal with. The one you just mentioned with the government employee flying a drone near the White House, he obviously hadn't received proper training or sufficient training and the like. And this is brings up the second problem. You know, drones are like aircraft. Aircraft crash. They get away from you. They get away from your signal, from the control base and the like. And I actually am for private and recreational use of drones, but I think it has to be coupled with meaningful training and practice and the like before you take it anywhere near people or others who can be endangered by the drone use.
How far with these smaller drones, the ones that are relatively inexpensive and anyone can buy, you say, at the mall or a store or whatever, how far can that drone get from the operator who's holding whatever it is that's supposed to control the drone? How far can it get before it goes out beyond any control, electronic control? Are we talking a mile, 2 miles, or what?
Well, I'll just say this. In 2014, the FAA recorded 238 sightings in the entire 12 months of 2014. They recorded 650 sightings in 2015, and more than one was at an altitude of 10,000 feet.
Mm.
Now, that doesn't mean your common drone that you'll purchase at the mall will go that high. In fact, the FAA's rules suggest you fly it no higher than 400 feet. But they will go higher, you see, and that's the problem. They don't. My control device doesn't have an altimeter in it telling me how high the drone is, and the drone doesn't tell you, the operator, how high it is. You're left to your own discretion, and that's the problem, in part here, with this new technology. It's five laps ahead of us, Chuck, in our desire to regulate it and make it a safe sport, a safe hobby.
And of course, I think before we went on the air, you told me about a case where the couple of teenagers, I think it was in California, correct me if I'm wrong, and they had used a drone to transport what illegal drug, if you would, and they then were faced with prosecution in the federal court. Would you talk about that very briefly?
Sure, I'm happy to. In researching and preparing for this program, I learned and found that two California teenagers recently pleaded guilty in federal court in California to smuggling 28 pounds of heroin, 28 pounds, not ounces, into the United States, into Southern California, using a drone.
Must have been a fairly big drone, because that's a fairly heavy payload, is it not?
Yes, it's very big payload, but I don't know whether that was, was it 28 one-pound trip?
Oh, I gotcha.
Or
okay.
The like. It could have been, and
yeah.
I don't know how far it went to get it across the border, but it was a border crossing from Mexico into Southern California.
And so what kind of sentence did these young teenagers get? Do you know?
They have not been sentenced yet.
Oh, they have not. Okay.
Correct. They pled guilty recently, but I can tell you, as a federal criminal defense lawyer, as well as doing aviation law, 28 pounds is a huge amount of heroin. And under the federal sentencing guidelines, these teenagers are looking at life in prison.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, it's a fairly serious amount of heroin. But they pled guilty, and so we'll see what happens. But this kind of reflects what I said earlier, and that is there are good drones and bad drones. We make use of drones in very helpful ways. We can put them over stadiums to monitor crowds, unruly behavior, what the crowd is doing, and the like. But we can also make illicit use of drones, you see. And this is just an example that we just talked about with the California unfortunate, you know, situation, these California teenagers.
Let me take a pause for a moment and alert you all that if you're listening to this program live on September 23rd, we are doing our regular Call a Lawyer night. There are several attorneys here at the station in San Francisco, and if you'd like to talk to any one of the attorneys, whether it's workers' compensation law, criminal law, legal malpractice law, family law, landlord-tenant law, tax law, real estate, a little bit later in the program, I'll give you the phone number for the bankruptcy attorney if you're being hounded by your creditors. That number is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. And in a few minutes, I'll invite you to call in and speak with Ed Page on the air at 1-866-798-8255, 1-866-798-8255. What do we need to do, Ed, with apparently what is serious now, as I understand it, in doing my research, that Amazon, this very large company, is very seriously considering wanting to use autonomous drones to deliver small packages to customers' doorsteps. What does autonomous mean with respect to a drone?
Well, autonomous just means that it's going to fly by itself and make the delivery. But the last I checked on this a few months ago, when Amazon was in the news almost every day about its efforts in the drone area, they were trying to go through the FAA-approved certification process.
Mm-hmm.
So the FAA has a process that you can now seek an exemption. It's called a Section 333 exemption to get an approval, basically a license to fly your drone commercially. And because the FAA, according to Amazon, was slow in reacting to its request and the like, they moved this project overseas.
I see.
I don't recall where, but they moved it over there so that they could see if it's practical and they could implement it and then perhaps bring it back to the United States.
With your experience as a commercial pilot and obviously the knowledge that you have gained with respect to drones, what needs to be done, if you can, and not in great detail, but what needs to be done if Amazon, for example, is going to try to use drones to deliver packages, let's say small packages, not 58 or 28 pounds, et cetera, but, you know, maybe a pound or 2 pounds. What does it need to do to be able to do that so that people are safe, that this is not going to crash through someone's front door, it's not going to hit someone's tree, or hit an actual person on the ground if they're going to try to do this? Do you have any thoughts about this?
Yes, I think that's a really big but important question, and maybe beyond me because it involves technology, and I'm not a drone, you know, technologist.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, to me, you're going to have to, Amazon's going to have to prove that this works, this technology, without fail, without jeopardizing people. But, you know, we have UPS and FedEx and others making deliveries now, and you know what? They're involved in accidents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have problems. Deliveries aren't made, and mm-hmm. packages are lost and the like. So it's not unheard of. We're just not yet prepared, I think, as a society to have a drone hover to my front door, ring my doorbell somehow, and drop the package and then fly away.
Are you serious when you say the drone would ring our doorbell?
Well, I can. I can probably buy some software now to manipulate through my iPhone to do that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Incredible. One of the concerns in my research is that a drone could be hijacked. And in other words, if we had someone who was knowledgeable as the pilot of a drone and had proper training, still a drone could be hijacked, controlled by someone else, and could do something such as a criminal act of crashing into somebody or someplace or whatever. Why is that can be done? Do you know?
No, I believe it can be done. All you have to do is capture that signal. And in fact, I will tell you that the FAA is in part enforcing its no drone zone around the Pope by using what's called disabling technology to disable the signal between the controller and the drone that might be flying near the Pope.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's not impossible to, so to speak, hijack a drone. I've not heard of it. I've not read of it. But it's certainly possible because it's all signal-driven.
With regard to the Washington Post's investigation using the Freedom of Information Act to get the documentation from the U.S. military, and it reported that 400 large military drones had crashed in major accidents. And these are drones, as I understand it, as I did my research, that may have cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, not cheap little drones like we're talking about here. What I'm wondering is, with respect to the Freedom of Information Act and this kind of thing, do you believe that what the Washington Post investigation found, that supposedly no one had died in a drone accident, do you think that that's true?
I'd be guessing, honestly.
Okay, all right.
Really know, but 400 drones and crashes. I think the takeaway from that is, they're not yet proven. These are being piloted by people on the ground, near and far from the drones, and it just helps underscore that this is a big issue for us. We want pilots, who are knowledgeable and the like, but there are no pilots in the drones, and that's where we're heading. We're heading towards more drones, and actually, if you take a look at this, a hard look at this, that's where the military is heading. We're not gonna have Top Gun anymore. In 25, 50, or 100 years from now, we're gonna have fighter jets, but they will be drones.
Oh my!
No pilot.
How wonderful, how wonderful. Something to look forward to, of course, obviously. Let me give our Call a Lawyer Night number again in case you'd like to talk to a lawyer in any one of the fields that I mentioned that we have. We're doing this program live on September 23rd, so if you're listening to the program live, you can call in now until another 35 minutes or so, and the attorneys are here. The number 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. And in about 5 minutes or so, I will invite you to call in and speak with my guest, Ed Page. For those of you who may have tuned in just a little bit late, Edward Page is a certified criminal law trial advocate by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. He's a Florida Supreme Court certified circuit court mediator. He's a commercial pilot and flight instructor, a partner in the Tampa, Florida law firm of Carlton, Fields, Jordan, and Burt. And the number that we will have for you to call in on the air on this live program, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Ed, we have in the statewide version of the program, which is the first half hour, about 4 minutes late, and for those people who are listening to the program live, we will go an additional 35 minutes, obviously, to have them call in and ask questions. But In the remaining 4 minutes or so of the statewide version, what haven't we even touched upon that you wanted to communicate to all of us?
Well, I wanted to help everybody understand that it's important to regulate drones, but we get some good out of them too. They help monitor forest fires and the like. So this whole drone experiment that we're in is a balancing act about how much freedom do we give people versus how much do we regulate it. And as in other technologies, we've got people who are using drones for a good purpose and others who are using it for a bad purpose. The FAA has established a procedure to license drones for commercial purposes. And involved in that is getting the pilot, so to speak, licensed. And it's not nearly as rigorous, and no medical exam is required for a drone operator. But the commercial rules the FAA is proposing, they're not yet effective yet, require the drone operator to be accompanied by what's called an observer, who has the drone always in a line of sight.
Mm.
So the FAA is on this, but we're going to go through a rocky period as the technology develops and gets more sophisticated and the like. And the other issue we haven't touched on really a lot yet, Chuck, is the privacy issues involved here.
Sure, of course.
We've been focusing on the danger from a crash or a collision with another airplane or hurting people in a stadium or the like, or illicit uses of the drone. But there's another big issue, and that is I read a recent story, I'm not sure where it was in the United States. The police were investigating a crime scene, and a neighbor nearby used his or her drone to hover over and watch the investigation unfold, of course, until the police found out about this and stopped the drone operation. So their privacy and investigation was being, you know, monitored and compromised at the time. And this can happen with just, you know, the buy-and-fly drone operator as well, who eavesdrops in your back pool or the like. And as a result of this, you see, both Congress and various state legislatures around the country, including California, have enacted statutes. In fact, there's a civil statute in California that regulates the use of drones, and it, in essence, says that you can't use a drone in a manner offensive to a person to capture a visual image or sound recording or the like of a person engaging in a private, personal, or familial activity.
Ed, we've come to about the end of the statewide version of the program, and you and I will continue on this live program on September 23rd for another half hour and give people a chance to call in and talk with you.
Perfect.
Okay, everybody. Again, our Call a Lawyer night number is 1-800-525-9917. In case you would like to call in and speak to any one of these attorneys who are trying to provide a service to you, workers' compensation law certified specialist Alice O'Sullivan, criminal law certified specialist Jeff Hayden, who's also the president of the San Mateo County Bar Association, legal malpractice law certified specialist Peter Fortune, for family law certified specialist Janet Frankel, for landlord-tenant law Jessica Chilas, tax law, real estate, and he's also real estate broker Frank Adam. And tomorrow, in case you are being chased by your creditors, hopefully not by a drone, but Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available tomorrow, Thursday, September 24th, from 8 a.m. to noon. And if you'd like to call him, no obligation on your part whatsoever, 1-800-477-3111, 1-800-477-3111. If you call and you get the voicemail, leave your name and phone number and say that you're Your Legal Rights listener, and Mr. Baer will call you back. Okay, let's take some calls now, and we're going to start with Matt. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you. This is a great conversation. I wanted to ask Ed about the FAA, and if there are, I'm most concerned with the fly and buy drone or buy and fly drone operator. I do quite a bit of traveling. I, I'm I'm concerned about these private drones, you know, getting it, somehow wandering into commercial airspace. And I didn't know if the FAA has a way now of preventing that from happening. I know that Ed mentioned something about I think it was disenablement technology or something. I can't remember
that they're using right now for to protect the Pope. Yeah. Well, let me see if I can get some comments. Ed, do you have some comments for Matt on this?
Yes, I do, and I don't have favorable news, Matt, to report to you, because the FAA has no way really of regulating the buy and fly drone operator, other than to post on their website, and I'm reading, quote, "Do contact the airport or control tower when flying within 5 miles of the airport."
Wow. Wow.
That's not very comforting to me.
That's scary.
That's why I'm kind of interested in this topic, because, you know, I fly a light aircraft. I'm low, slow. I'm not high and fast like the jets. But everybody transitions, you know, your point is, Matt, off the ground up to various altitudes, and that's where the danger is.
Exactly. And I just had one more question.
Go ahead.
About that technology.
Go ahead. Sure.
Disengagement technology. So if they were able to disengage the signal, would that then stop the drone and it would just drop, or does it just continue but it's not guided?
Well, you know, I'm not an expert, but it sounds to me like I would lose control, and I don't know if the propellers keep operating or does it, because the energy, you see, comes from the batteries in the drone, not the module that I'm holding.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that presents then another scary thing, because if there's no control, you wonder what's going to happen with that drone.
Right.
Well, but I think this disabling technology is turned on when we start this no drone zone, you see. So nobody's going to be able to, in effect, control the drone and get it airborne.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. That's wonderful.
I see.
That's great. Okay. Well, Matt, thanks very much for calling.
Hey, thank you.
Great to have you. Great to have you with a couple of very good questions. Thanks for calling. Again, everybody, the Call a Lawyer night is 1-800-525-9917. If you'd like to talk with my guest, Edward Page, it's 866-798-8255. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. And for a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program, call 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. Also, one of our supporters, funders, is the San Mateo County Bar Association, which also has a lawyer referral program. You can call your own at 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. In California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. They will do their best to find someone who's experienced in the area of law that you're having a problem with, or having a problem with somebody in that area of the law. And for a half an hour consultation, with minor exception in California, the cost for half an hour will be somewhere between $25 to $35. That money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to fund that service, which is a great public service. So that's available to you. Let's talk now with Roberta. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. I'm glad you're having this program. When your guest talked about positive aspects like crowd, seeing how crowds are misbehaving or whatever, I want to see what he knows about government agencies
misbehaving.
Yes, exactly. Using this for less positive. I mean, surveillance, interfering with freedom of assembly, that kind of thing.
Very interesting. Good, very good question, Roberta. Let's get a comment from Ed on that. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Ed, what do you say?
Well, the FAA deals with this on its website. As I mentioned early on in the program, there are three ways, you know, the there's a public operations way to get your drone approved by the FAA for what are called public operations, meaning law enforcement or government, like government surveyors or the police or the like. They have a certain way that they go through the regulations to get their operator, their drone and operators approved. And so there are good uses made of it there. But, you know, as we've seen over the past several months, the police and government agents sometimes make mistakes and aggressive certain situations. And, in fact, Florida has a statute that deals with drones and governs how closely police can use it to conduct what Roberta mentioned as surveillance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, that statute's been on the books in Florida, you know, a couple of years. So, drones, I don't care who operates them, whether it's the government or a private citizen, can have, issues with that operation.
Are you aware of any kind of regulation, at least as far as the Federal Aviation Administration is concerned, that prohibits, let's say, we have police misconduct out in the open, and someone is very concerned about what's going on. Instead of having, shooting with his or her cell phone photos of this, someone has a drone that's with a camera that's recording what the officers are doing, if it's, let's say, a violation of the law. Are you aware of any kind of regulation or law through the FAA or any federal agency that prohibits a private person from doing that?
I'm not aware.
Okay.
You have to remember, though, the FAA regulates, the aircraft and
yes.
the operator and airspace.
I see.
These kind of things we're touching on now go to federal law and state law that would mm-hmm. say how you use, your drone,
yeah.
how close you can come and the like. But the general law is, you're out in public. We don't have an expectation of privacy when I'm in public.
Yes.
See, unless you get so close.
Okay.
Or if I'm in a certain area,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
like the California statute that I read earlier addresses or speaks
mm-hmm.
to.
Okay, and that statute, by the way, in case anybody would like to look it up, I think you told me if you will let people know, it's in the Civil Code, California Civil Code. Would you give that again?
I will, Chuck. I've got a...
It's 1708.8, and then you said paren bravo.
I've got to dig for it just a little bit, but if you'll give it here...
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
California Civil Code, section 1708.8, paren bravo.
Spelled B-R-A-V-O?
Well, B. I use bravo because I'm a...
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Okay. Bravo for B. Okay. 1708.8, paren B. Okay. Good. All right. One other thing, again, in case you'd like to, we'll get to you as quickly as we can with your calls to Ed Page. I just want to let you know, for those of you in the San Francisco Bay Area and San Mateo County Bay Area, the San Mateo County Bar Association on October 15th is hosting a presentation for the public on police misconduct and civil rights violations with nationally respected civil rights attorney John Burris and Carlos Bolanos, who's the undersheriff of San Mateo County. And for attorneys who attend this, this is approved for 1.5 hours of elimination of bias MCLE, mandatory legal education credit. And if you're interested, whether you're a member of the public or an attorney and you'd like more information, you can go to the San Mateo County Bar Association's website at smcba.org or call 650-298-4030, 298-4030, area code 650. Again, call lawyer 800-525-9917. And Leon Bayer tomorrow between 8 a.m. to noon, tomorrow, September 24th, 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. And we have, we've got Ken. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening. Interesting topic. Just a couple quick comments. there was a Kentucky man named William Meredith who saw a drone flying over his backyard where his 16-year-old daughter was sunbathing, and it was so close, he said it was 10 feet off the ground, and actually looking under a backyard canopy, he shot it, and the drone owner came to his house saying, hey, you owe me a lot of money, and he said, go away. Police charged him with discharging a firearm in city limits. I think federally it's illegal to overfly federal land, and I think there were problems with the airdrops of water over the fire area because they had reports of people with drones, and they're afraid it would, you know, cause a plane crash. There was a injury from a drone in, of all places, indoors in a TGI Fridays in New York last December, when they have this thing called a mistletoe drone that flew around the restaurant, and if it flew over your table, you were supposed to kiss on camera. Well, it crashed into her head, hit her hair, and actually sliced off and bloodied her nose, the tip of her nose. I guess police-wise, I'm curious if there is the plain view doctrine that gives police the right to seize anything in plain view, and I guess it's one thing if you're on the first floor with a window, but what if you're on the third floor and a drone is hovering outside looking at inside or, you know, that kind of thing? It certainly gives access where they couldn't. I wonder if the search and seizure issue there. And then on Amazon, it's widely considered a publicity stunt because they released that announcement that they had delivery drones on so-called Cyber Monday in the beginning of December a couple years ago. So they got enormous publicity out of that, and it's largely could be considered to be so-called vaporware, like they can't do it, but they just announced it because it got their name everywhere.
Let me do this, Ken. I want to get some comments from Ed on this.
Yeah, I'm curious. The difference, the actual question I had is there a difference between a drone and a quadcopter?
A quadcopter. All right. Well, thank you, Ken, very much for your comments here. Let me see if I can get some comments from Ed. Thank you very much for calling, Ken. Ed, what comments, if any, do you have with regard to Ken?
Well, first of all, I read about the incident where the person with the shotgun shot the drone, and I read with interest that he was arrested. But these are the kind of areas, you see, where we're looking at buy and fly and what it gets you into. No one would have ever thought that someone would use a drone to hover over a teenager in a bikini, and then someone comes out with a shotgun and shoots it down and is arrested. What do we do with that person? How do we arrest? Do we arrest him? Do we prosecute him? What kind of sentence does he get? And should there be a problem in the first place? You know, with this whole situation. So
what happened to the father who shot down the drone with the shotgun? Do you know?
I don't.
Okay.
I just read about it, and I think it was actually fairly recently.
I see. Okay. So if there is a prosecution, it's probably still ongoing at this point.
Exactly.
Anything else you want to respond to with respect to the issues that Ken raised?
Well, Amazon certainly could have been doing this as a publicity stunt, but I know what I read, and I read that their statement was they were having so much opposition from the FAA that they moved this quote-unquote experiment overseas.
What is your thought, Ed, about the FAA being the federal agency to kind of monitor what's going on with drones? Do you feel this is the appropriate agency to do this?
Well, I don't think it should be one agency. The FAA, actually National Transportation Safety Board, ruled earlier this year in a case out of the University of Virginia where an operator was using a drone on the campus there at UVA in Charlottesville to fly too close to people. The NTSB held that a drone is indeed an aircraft and subject to FAA, control and rules and regulations. But they can't handle it all because the problems that drones cause, you see, this example of someone shooting a drone at 10 feet, you know, in their backyard as it videoed the landowner's teenage daughter in a bikini. That's not an FAA problem. You see, that's a local police problem.
I see. Okay. I gotcha.
Police
sure.
that sure. and deal with it.
Sure. I mean, frankly, you know, what if, in Ken's example and the case that you said you read about, what if the father had taken, for example, if the drone was underneath the roof of this, what this little awning would be or whatever it is, let's say low enough, really taking camera shots of this young girl or young woman, what if the father came out with a baseball bat and knocked it down? Is that a criminal act? What would you say about that?
Yeah, that remains to be seen. Most states, you see, have what's called a criminal mischief statute where I intentionally damage or harm some, you know, other object. But really, this situation also implicates this California statute that we've talked about that says you can't use a drone in a manner offensive.
Yeah.
To a reasonable person to capture a visual image, you see, of somebody else engaging in a private, personal, or familial activity. And in the bikini situation, that's clearly a private or personal activity in your own backyard.
Sure, of course.
You use a drone to, you know, do that.
And this obviously, the use of this drone obviously was by someone who was aware that this young woman would... go out in her bikini, or maybe she didn't even have on a bikini. Who knows?
Exactly.
And sunning herself, and this was a premeditated type of thing to begin with, where obviously, in my opinion, as an attorney who's been a consumer advocate for many years and a deputy DA for 30, I would find that trespassing on the property of the both the father and the young woman.
Yep.
And frankly, that drone operator had no right to have that drone there whatsoever. In any event, let's take another call. We've got Philip. Welcome to Your Legal Rights. Philip, are you there?
Yes, thank
Hi,
you.
Hi, your turn.
Yes, a couple of questions. One is I'm concerned about Fourth Amendment issues with
Good.
Drones.
Good.
And I'm wondering about if the California statute, that only refers to civilians, and not to government.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the government is exempt from that from the California regulations, what are there Fourth Amendment issues, and has the use of drones and the information obtained from drone use been used in courts and has been ruled on by judges whether or not it's legal?
A very good question, Philip. Is that it?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah, take the answer on the air if you would. Turn your radio back up.
I will.
Up.
Thank you.
In that you are a certified criminal lawyer with the National Board of Trial Advocacy, Ed, what is your comment on the Fourth Amendment and the constitutional protections?
Well, so first of all, we've got a fundamental issue here, and that is we need what's called state or government action to have a Fourth Amendment issue most of the time.
Right.
So what's state action? That means a police officer has to be controlling the drone. We have to have an actor who's acting on behalf of the state or federal government. So a private person, this shotgun situation in Kentucky, okay, that doesn't implicate the Fourth Amendment, although it may be nevertheless a crime or violate a civil, you know, statute.
Mm-hmm.
But the Fourth Amendment is implicated if we have a government officer or police agent, FBI agent, or the like, conducting surveillance or, in effect, searches using a drone. And the rule there is that you're going to need a search warrant to do a search unless the object is in plain view. So this is a developing area of the law. You know, on one side we have expectation of privacy, and the other side we say we got to have a search warrant. The other side says to get a search warrant you need probable cause. So there are a lot of dynamics, pardon the pun, floating time around, you see, in this area. And so it's new, and I don't have a situation that I can point to for the caller.
There are an incredible number of issues that we are we as a public are confronted with. And frankly, Ed, my thought on this is that in a few months, if you would like, I think we should come back and revisit this and see where we are, if there have been any kind of advances whatsoever in terms of either more significant problems or improvements in the situation. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, yeah. There'd be a good to take a status check and see how far we've come and what new issues have developed since today, September 23rd.
Well, let me advise all of you again that on the fourth Wednesday of the month on Your Legal Rights, and it's usually the fourth Wednesday, we do Call a Lawyer night. And let me thank the attorneys who are here for Call a Lawyer. We're doing this program on September 23rd. They'll still be here for a few more minutes, 1-800-525-9917. I want to thank Alice O'Sullivan, Certified Specialist in Workers' Compensation Law, Jeff Hayden, Certified Specialist in Criminal Law, Peter Fortune, Certified Specialist in Legal Malpractice Law, Janet Frankel, Certified Specialist in Family Law, Jessica Chilek, Attorney of Landlord-Tenant Law Practice, for real estate, tax law, and who also is a real estate broker, Frank Adam. And tomorrow at his office, no obligation on your part, Certified Specialist Leon Baer in Bankruptcy Law will be available to you from 8 a.m. to noon. That's September 24th, 8 a.m. to noon, 1-800-477-3111, 1-800-477-3111. Again, all of these calls that you can make for Call a Lawyer or to Mr. Baer, no obligation on your part whatsoever. This is a public service these attorneys are performing. We have, I think, do we have one more person? Yeah, wait a minute. Do we have, oh, okay, Ed, are you returning or is this a different Ed?
No, this is a different Ed.
Okay, Ed, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, Chuck.
Hi.
My question, I have two quick questions. One is, if a malicious act has taken place with a drone, is there any way to track down who did it? And the second thing is, just in general, if the sky gets filled with these things, it's going to be awfully noisy around here. You know, with all this buzzing going on.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to enjoy that?
Nobody. Nobody's going to enjoy it. There's a noise problem, and if we do have these things all over the place, what about people who are in hospitals who are trying to recuperate from operations or whatever? Ed Page, what do you respond to with respect to our caller Ed's question?
Well, the first question is, how do I track it? And I rely on my stock phrase here. In police work, we call these clues. And so it's just old-fashioned police work.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the problem. The FAA is confronted with this concerning illegal drone use. For example, the ones we've been talking about that interfered with the firefighting efforts out west. We normally need eyewitness testimony or an admission or some kind of circumstantial proof to even start focusing on somebody. And it's just sometimes very difficult to get that. You see, fashion police work. Till the technology advances to some point where I have a GPS tracker on the device or some other way of connecting that drone, you see, to the operator. It's just old-fashioned police work.
Just very interesting. Anything else, Ed, who called in, anything else you have?
Well, I mean, I was wondering if they could be required to have an ID. Just like an airplane has an ID that
good point
broadcast. Why can't they require that these devices have IDs? If they don't have IDs, it's automatically illegal to fly.
That's a real good point. If you'll take the answer on the air, turn your radio back up, Ed. Thanks very much for calling.
You.
Ed Page, what do you say?
Well, what I say there is for commercial operators in the licensing requirement, there's all sorts of places where you have to, indicate who you are and what you're going to use it for and get FAA approval as, so to speak, the pilot of the drone and your bystander observer. But, you see, that's for just commercial uses of drones, and we have fewer than 2,000 exemptions or permits that the FAA has granted so far to date. The real problem is the buy-and-fly drone operator. All we have there to connect that operator with that drone, you see, is a receipt and the serial number that might be in the paperwork that comes mm-hmm. with the drone, and then maybe perhaps eyewitness testimony and the like.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than that, there's just simply no way.
There's no way if this is not for commercial use, there is no requirement that we are aware of yet under the law that requires before a drone can be sold to someone that there is a criminal background check or anything like that.
No.
So there we are. It's a lot of stuff can happen, and I think it's something that all of us should seriously think about. Not that we individually can do anything, but what recommendation would you have for the average person who's concerned about this, Ed, if anything?
I think that's important to encourage people to get educated before they use a drone. They really need to get some training. They need to perhaps have someone give them a little coaching on the use of drone and do some reading and realize that drones quickly can turn from fun into really serious matters if the drone flies out of control and you injure someone. And you've got to avoid, of course, the temptation to use the drone for an illegal purpose.
For sure. Sure. I mean, if you walk on someone's property without that person's permission, that's trespass. That's under California law. That's a trespass, and someone can sue you civilly. It may also be a criminal matter, depending on what you're doing. One of the questions that just came in, Ed, is there a publication, very, very briefly, because we've just about run out of time, is there a publication which spells out proper operation of a drone? Do you know?
Yes, and you can go to www.faa.gov, and there are the FAA has done a wonderful, in my view, and commendable job trying to educate people about drones. That website is loaded with information and links to other places.
Okay, www.faa.gov. Ed, I want to thank you very much for joining us on the program. It's been a great pleasure having you, and I think I'll probably want you to come back in a few months. Edward Page is a certified criminal law trial advocate by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. He's got all kinds of acclamations: Florida Supreme Court certified, Circuit Court mediator, commercial pilot, flight instructor, partner in the Tampa, Florida law firm of Carlton, Fields, Jordan, and Burt. Ed, thanks so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Great to have you on the program. Next week, everybody, we're going to be talking about using mediation to resolve disputes and lawsuits. My guests will be attorney mediators with the San Francisco Bar's Mediation Services Program, Nicole Gesher and Fred Hertz, and also Carol Kahn, director of the San Francisco Bar's Public Service Programs. We'll also, next week, September 30th, we'll have a Call a Mediator Night, 800-525-9917. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr, production assistant Martin McLean. This segment of Your Legal Rights has been funded by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. Additional funding for the program is made possible by the Trust and Estate section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Thanks for joining us on Your Legal Rights, and I hope you join us next time.